My dearly beloved in Christ, in today's gospel, we see a wonderful demonstration of the love and the goodness of the Sacred Heart of Jesus. It says, the Lord, seeing her, this widow, who was following her son's body to burial as it was going out of the town, the Lord, seeing her, had compassion on her and said to her, do not weep. And then he proceeded to raise her son from the dead. Once again, this is a wonderful demonstration of the love, the goodness of the Sacred Heart of Jesus. But it also begs a question. And that is, Jesus, who is God, knows everything. And so he knew that her son was going to die. He knew that she was a widow. Why didn't he go there before he died and restore him to life, restore him to health, to preserve this poor woman from the terrible sorrow she experienced at the death of her son? Our Lord could have done that. He is God. And he didn't. What about even his own mother? We have this month the month of the seven sorrows of Our Lady. And so we have the statue of the Pietà here in the sanctuary. The third sorrow is the loss of the boy Jesus in the temple for 3 days. Imagine the sorrow of our Blessed Mother and Saint Joseph when our Lord stayed behind in the temple. It says in Scripture that they came a day's journey and realized he was not there in the caravan at the end of the day. So they returned to Jerusalem anxiously seeking him. And finally, at the conclusion of the third day, they found him in the temple, and his mother said to him, son, why have you done so to us? Your father and I have sought you sorrowing. And he didn't say, I'm so sorry to have caused you this pain. I'm sorry that you experience this sorrow. He simply said, why did you seek me? Did you not know I must be about my father's business? He wanted to demonstrate to them and to all of us that he could have begun his public life at the age of 12, preaching and teaching, and he didn't. But once again, he allowed his mother to go through this sorrow. So there must be a reason, and of course there is, for sorrow, for the trials that we experience. This is from the book of Job in the Old Testament, chapter 7, verse 1. The life of man upon earth is a warfare, and his days are like the days of a hireling. So, a time of sorrow. Another quotation is taken from St. Paul to the Hebrews. And St. Paul here is simply quoting the book of Proverbs, chapter 3 of the book of Proverbs in the Old Testament. And St. Paul says, my son, neglect not the discipline of the Lord, neither be thou wearied whilst thou art rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chastiseth, and he scourgeth every one whom he receiveth. So those whom God loves, he chastises. And in fact, if we have no cross to carry, it is a sign that God is displeased with us. He's punishing us. He's not giving us a cross to carry. As our Lord said, take up your cross and follow me. So there's a purpose. There's a reason for suffering. And we must bear our crosses, whether it is sorrow, like this poor widow, or physical ailments, or whatever kind of suffering. We must carry our crosses to get to heaven. Now, the first quote I gave you here was from the book of Job. And I don't know if you've ever heard the story of this holy man. So Job lived well before the time of Christ. Likely, the fathers of the church believe he was a descendant of Esau. So you know that Abraham had a son named Isaac, and Isaac had two sons, Jacob and Esau. And from Jacob came the 12 tribes of Israel, the Israelites. But the descendants of Esau were called the Edomites. And it is believed, again, by the fathers of the church, that this holy man, Job, was descended from the Edomite, from Esau. At any rate, he lived well before the time of Christ, and he was a very devout, good man, obedient to all the commandments of God. It says in the book of Job that every day he would offer prayers and sacrifices for his children so that they wouldn't offend God. He was blessed, I believe, with 10 children. And Satan one day appeared before the throne of God, and he said that he was traveling around the world, and he was very pleased with himself and how he got almost everybody in the world to do what he wanted them to do, to commit sin, etc. And God said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job? How good a man he is, how observant of my laws, obedient to my laws." And Job said, "Well, the reason for that is because you've blessed him. He has this large family. He has many possessions and herds of animals. He has many servants and a nice house. So that's why he's obedient." So God gave the devil permission to strike Job in his possessions. And one day, one of his servants came in breathlessly saying, "I was with your other servants feeding the flocks, and the enemies came and they attacked and they took the flocks and they killed all of your servants except me. I'm the only one that escaped to give you this news." And as he was finishing, another came in and said, "Well, I was with your camels, and this other group of bandits came and they took your camels and they killed your servants, and I'm the only one that survived." And then another one. And then to top it all off, lastly came one servant in to say, "Your 10 children were all in the house of your eldest son feasting. And a wind came up and the roof collapsed and they were all killed. And I'm the only one that escaped alive to tell you the sad news." And Job rent his garments for sorrow, but all he could say is, "The Lord has given and the Lord has taken away. The Lord gave me so much, the Lord took it away." In other words, he didn't become angry against God. He accepted this terrible trial. And then the next day, Satan appeared before the throne of God and said, once again bragging that he was getting almost everybody in the world to do what he wanted them to do. And God said, "Have you seen my servant Job?" And I will just give you the words from Scripture. "And the Lord said to Satan, 'Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a man simple and upright and fearing God and avoiding evil and still keeping his innocence? But thou hast moved me against him that I should afflict him without cause.' And Satan answered and said, 'Skin for skin, and all that a man hath, he will give for his life. But put forth thy hand and touch his bone and his flesh, and then thou shalt see he will bless thee to thy face.'" And then, in other words, then you're going to see if he still blesses you. "And the Lord said to Satan, 'Behold, he is in thy hand, but yet save his life.' So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord and struck Job with a very grievous ulcer, from the sole of the foot even to the top of his head. And he took a potsherd and scraped this corrupt matter sitting on a dunghill. And his wife said to him, 'Dost thou still continue in thy simplicity? Bless God and die.' And he said to her, 'Thou hast spoken like one of the foolish women. If we have received good things at the hand of God, why should we not also receive evil? In all these things, Job did not sin with his lips.'" So he still blessed God. Now, it's a very long book, actually, in the Old Testament. And Job had three friends, and they heard this tragic news. They came to visit him, and they just sat down looking at him, sympathizing with him, and they went into these different speeches. And most of the book is this philosophizing about life and so forth. And they would say, one of them would say one thing, and then Job would answer. And another thing, and the gist of the three of them, their speeches was, come on, Job, admit it. You must have offended God that he has punished you in this way. And Job kept saying, no, my conscience is at rest. I'm not aware that I have offended God, but I accept what he sends me, and so forth. So it goes on, and then even a fourth friend came to join the other three. And finally, when all is said and done, towards the end of the book, God speaks out of a whirlwind, and he reproves these men for their foolish words, and he tells them that they need to get Job to pray for them so that he would forgive them. So here is a good example of the intercession of the saints. Get my servant Job to pray for you, and I will forgive you your foolishness and your words. And then the final conclusion is that God then restores to Job his health, his many possessions, and he has more children and lives to a very old age. And again, is blessed by God. But think about that when you have a trial and we're tempted to say, does God really love me? Why does he allow me to suffer this trial? Once again, think of the widow whose only son had died, and our Lord allowed that before he raised the boy from the dead. Think of our mother of sorrows, and how much she experienced not at the only at the loss of her son, but especially standing at the foot of the cross. And God permitted that. So he allows us also to suffer for his sake, that we might earn the happiness he wants to give us in heaven. We have to earn it. And we do so by carrying our cross and striving to do so without feeling sorry for ourselves and without complaining, but by looking to the example of our Lord, an imitation of him, carrying our cross for love of him who died for love of us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.